Today, many people want to be like God. The Mormons want to be like God. They tell you that you can be your own God and you can have your own kingdom. New Age people tell you that all you got to do is find the God within you and you can be like God. And so we have a lot of religions and a lot of groups today that want to be God or be like God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Love. People don't care what you know till they know that you care, part two. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part two.
Love is polite, right? I mean, you know, love tries to be gracious. Love tries to understand where the other person is. Number seven, love seeketh not her own. Love is not interested in self. Love is not preoccupied with self and one's own interests. Love seeks the needs of others. It is unselfish. It is aware of the needs of those around them. Love does not seek to benefit for itself and hurt other people. Love uses its gifts to minister to the welfare of other people. That love seeketh not her own. You know, there are so many people in the body of Christ that it's all about them. But if you have genuine love in your heart, then you are sensitive to the needs of those around you. And when people around you are hurting, that you sense that. Why? Because that love is there. You know, we talk about that spirit that flows from heart to heart and from breast to breast. Well, what does that mean? You know, I know I've heard it many times in the church. Lord, thank you for that love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you got a love that flows from heart to heart and breast to breast, then if another person in that circle is hurting, that your heart feels that hurt. And that you are not, it's not all about you. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, take care of ourselves and we have to watch out for ourselves. You know, there's no question about that. But if that becomes the order of the day, if that becomes all that we do, then that's not genuine love. That at some point in this process, you know, love has to reach out and begin to minister and encourage those around us. Love is not easily provoked. The term provoked means to stir up the anger. That love is not aroused to anger very easily. How about you? Is your anger aroused easily? Are you able to cool the fire that's in your heart? Are you able to calm the spirit that's raging inside of you? If you love somebody, you're able to do that. You know, I've given the illustration before of how that some brothers and sisters can be in intense, you know, we use the word intense fellowship with their husband or wife, and they're in intense fellowship. And, you know, you going at it back and forth, and then all of a sudden the phone rings. And then you like JJ from Good Times, right? Cello, you know. So, you know, you are able to change that spirit. And so we need to understand that if we have that love in our heart, that this love is not easily provoked. Some of the points that we have underneath there is that love doesn't become angry at the person, but at their actions. Let me repeat that. Love doesn't become angry at the person, but their actions. That if you love somebody, that you love that person. And that your love can't be turned off. It might be turned off in a series of acts, but it's not going to be turned off by one act. You just can't go from loving somebody to not loving somebody in one act. So what do we have to do? We have to, whenever we get angry, that we have to focus on what they did And we have to address what they did and not attack the person that we love. Love is on guard against being irritated or angry with other people. You know, there are some folk, you know that they can get your goat. You know who they are. And so you know, they and your family, we all got them. We all got them in our family. And so we just need to be on guard. You know, that's our family. We got to love them. And so we just need to say, okay, well, you know, Uncle so-and-so coming over today. You know, I need to be on my P's and Q's today because I know that they're going to do something that's going to cause me to get upset. I know they're going to do something to cause me to get angry. And so if I love Uncle so-and-so, then I need to be ready, be on guard, because I know that he's going to irritate me and make me mad. And so I'm not going to let him do it today. But a lot of people, you know, they don't want to do that. Love seeks to control anger at all times. That if you love somebody, you know, again, you know, we can, and I've heard the saints say this, well, you know, I got to put my religion on a shelf and then let them have a piece of my mind, and then I'm going to pick it back up again. Well, you know, that's just like setting off an atomic bomb. You know, you go and you blow stuff up, and you done hurt and wounded all these folk, and now you want to go try to take your religion back again. No, you got to watch that bomb before you set it off. You know, that it's got to be long-suffering, like we talked about earlier. So love, you got to seek to control your anger. You know, how you doing on number 8? You know, do I get angry easy? You know, with my loved ones? Am I on a short fuse with my loved ones? That's not to say you don't love them, but you're not exercising love. You're not practicing love. You know, I asked the question, are you a loving person? You know, I was struggling with saying this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyways. I think that you can have love in your heart and not be a loving person. So sometimes you might need to check your actions. You know, the love might be there, but your relatives are going to say, I ain't seeing it. You know, they say they got love in their heart, but I'm not seeing it. All right. So again, you know, we're talking, last week we talked about the power of love. You know, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk about the presence of love and the permanence of love. But this week, we are talking about the performance of love. How does love look? What does love look like? And love looks like that if I get angry, that I can have some degree of sensibility and control that anger and not just go off on people. Love thinketh no evil. This means, as I put in your notes, and somebody said that the first set of notes that got copied was good, front and back. But the second set of scribal notes are missing the back page, so you may need to get that back page if you don't have it, all right? So love thinketh no evil. The Greek term there actually means, it's a bookkeeping term, and it means to count or to keep written records in a ledger. Wow. Love does not keep written records. You know, somebody, if you love somebody, now, again, let me fix it up now, because I know there's people out there saying, well, you know, you don't know what they did to me. That's right. Now, I never did say that you're going to forget, right? Because it's, you know, if you've been hurt, wounded by somebody, that stays in your mind. But I believe what Paul was trying to say here is that when genuine love, when agape love is in the heart, that people are not, you know, he was counseling this couple one time, and the guy said, man, you know, every time me and my wife get into a discussion, she gets historical. And the counselor said, you mean hysterical, don't you? He said, no, I mean historical. You know, she wants to bring up all this stuff that happened in the past. All right. And so that Paul said that love does not keep record. Wow. It doesn't keep record. It's not, okay, you know, that's one. You know, that's two. You know, that's three. You know, no. Love, you love somebody. You know, again, now let me say, because I know people can misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying to be a fool, right? I'm not saying to be a fool. and get stepped on. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're in a healthy relationship where, you know, people are trying to do right and do the right thing, that love in those kind of relationships doesn't keep record, okay? Now, you know, if you're in another relationship where it's not healthy, then, you know, you might need to do more than keep records. I didn't say that. Somebody said that out there. That answer came from the congregation. It didn't come from up here. All right. All right. Bless your heart. All right. Love thinketh no evil. Love does not keep an account of the things done against it by others. Love does not look for opportunities to get even. Love forgives others for wrongs done. Love tries to forget the offenses committed by others. Number 10, love rejoiceth not in iniquity. This means that if you see somebody doing wrong that you love, that you try to go to them and let them know that they're wrong. And it's not because you're trying to be mean or vindictive, but because you love them. That if you truly, you know, love somebody. You know, one of the things that bothers me in the church is sometimes when leadership turns over. Now, this is not at Bethany. This is at other churches that I've seen this at. That sometimes when leadership turns over, that the leader that's going out, and I've seen this happen before, that the leader that's going out don't want to spend time with the leader coming in and let them know, well, you know, try to bring them up, train them up, prepare them for the job. But it's almost like, well, you know, I'm not doing it anymore. And so, you know what, well, you find out the best way you can. Now, what kind of loving spirit is that? You know, if you've got a loving spirit, if you love this person, if you love the ministry that you're in, if you love the souls that are in that ministry, then what you are going to do is you're going to do everything to help that person transition into that position. And you're not going to say, well, let them find stuff out on their own. Let them hit their head against the wall and find out. No, love is going to tell people because you love them and you want to help them. Love, as Paul said here, that love does not rejoice in iniquity. That when things are wrong, love is not happy about that. Love does not encourage people to do the wrong things. Now, I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but I'm going to say this. You know, I've had some husbands that have tried to get their wives to look at pornography. Now, I got to ask the question. Do you really love your wife? Right? Love rejoices not in iniquity. That you're not trying to get your wife to do something that is ungodly. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, Paul said that this is your bride, that you ought to cherish her and nurture her and protect her and keep her from all these defilements of evil, that is the job of the husband. But yet and still, you know, there are some men that's in their heart, that's in their spirit. Love does not get pleasure from those who commit acts of sin. That, you know, a lot, you know, and I like a joke just as much as the next guy, and I like to laugh just as much as the next guy. But, you know, sometimes we have to be kind of careful what we're laughing at. Because if we're laughing at sin, if we're laughing at wrongdoing, if we're laughing at people that are being abused and hurt, you know, then, you know, that's not the kind of love that Paul's talking about here. He said, love does not get pleasure from those who commit acts of sin. Love does not brag about those who are involved in sin. You know, people that are doing the wrong thing. You know, I often, you know, sometimes as a Christian parent, you got to take a hard stand, even when it's unpopular. And there were many times that my kids came to me and they said, well, so-and-so's parents said that it was all right. That so-and-so's parents let them do it. You know, and I just, you know, I could go into some deep situations. Some real deep situations, even getting down to, you know, insurance fraud, you know, where other parents were doing that and telling my kids about it. And then my kids come and say, well, what, Dad, what about this? Can't do that. You know, I love the Lord. You know, we can't be committing fraud, insurance fraud. Oh, it's getting ready to get a little quiet out there now. Hopefully we don't have any fraudulent individuals. But love, you know, it doesn't do wrong, and then it doesn't brag about it. You know, folk brag about doing wrong. Love does not make wrong appear to be right. And love does not gossip, because gossip is rejoicing in evil. And he says that he rejoiceth not in iniquity. You know, I heard the story about these four preachers that skipped church one day to go golfing. And they got convicted and began to confess. And one confessed, he said, well, you know, I like to go to movies. You know, sometimes I'll even sneak away during church and go to the movie. And the other guy said, well, you know, I like to smoke cigars. And the other preacher said, well, you know, I got to confess, I like to play cards. And the last one, he kept his mouth shut. He wasn't going to say anything. And somebody said, well, you know, what's your sin? He tried to keep shut. And they said, come on, man. They kept pressing, what's your sin? He said, well, I like to gossip, and I can't wait till I get out of here. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. You know, the brother was he was rejoicing in iniquity. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Love takes great delight when others follow the truth. When we see people following the word of God, when we see people that are loving God and obedient to his word, that we should get excited about that. Love rejoices in the truth. How about you? Do I like to see others do right? Do you really like to see, or number 10, do I like to see others do wrong? You know, does it thrill my heart, and do I get joy when other people are doing wrong? Or do I get excited when I see people doing right? Do I have a heart to protect others from harm? Love, it says, beareth all things. It bears all things. You know, do I have this heart to, that the word bear actually means to cover or protect. It means that you are trying to protect someone from embarrassment. You're trying to protect somebody from harm, from gossip. You're trying to protect another person from sin, from doing the wrong thing. You try to expose to as few people as possible the faults of other people because you love them. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Now, this is not a gullible belief, but what it means is that you try to see the best in other people. That when somebody who you love is in your life, that you try to see the best. Again, not that you close your eyes and don't see the wrong and the problems. That's not what Paul's saying here, but Paul's saying that there are times when you try to look at a person and you try to see what is good in them. What is good about this person? That if I love this person, and you know what? If I see the good in them, then I ought to do everything in my spirit to try to bring out the good. So often we bring out the worst in people. But what are we doing to bring out the best in people? If there's somebody in your life and all they do is bring out the worst in you, then you got to begin to say, you know, what's going on here? What's happening here? That if I love you, that I want to bring out the best in you. I want to see you shine. I want to see you put on that pedestal because I love you. You know, I appreciate the family here at Bethany and the love that I'm shown as a pastor. And how that I know that there are members that that want to bring the best out in me. And I thank God for that. And even sometimes if we have to sit down in meetings or whatever and talk about the hard things, even with me, talk about the hard things, I have no problem with that. Because I know, as long as I can sense that you want the best, if I sense that you're coming because you're vindictive or you're angry or you got a nasty spirit, then I'm going to shut down. But if I sense that you're coming out of love and it's a genuineness about it, then I'm going to open up my ears and I'm going to open up my heart, because I realize that love tries to bring out the best in people. It says that love believeth all things. Let me finish. Love hopeth all things. This means that love has an optimistic expectation for the people around them. Love does not focus on the past faults. Love looks ahead to the best for others. Love does not give way to pessimism or cynicism. And love believes that God will work all things together for good. That if I've got loved ones in my family, which I have, and I don't know about you, I got loved ones in my family that, you know, they're not walking with the Lord, or they might not be saved. You know what I believe? I believe that God is going to get a hold of their heart. And I pray for them because I love them. I love them. I pray for them. And I ask that God would get a hold of their heart and just turn their life and turn their hearts toward him. And that's what Paul, he said, love hopes all things. And then finally, he says that love endures all things. Love endures all things. Powerful concept here. This word endure is a military term. And listen to this. It's in your notes if you want to read along. It's used of an army holding a vital position at all costs. That when the army is under attack, that the army does not give up any ground, but your job, the army's job, is to hold that position. Yeah, we got some reinforcements on the way. Yeah, we got some troops on the way. All we need for you to do is just hold that position. And that's what Paul says here. Love endures. What does it mean? Love holds the position. That when you are under attack, when the onslaughts of evil come against you, when you are involved in the most difficult situations, love holds the position. Love stands strong against any circumstance. Love stands strong no matter what the cause. You know, it doesn't jump ship, but love stays on the ship and doesn't give up. The performance of love. That's what we talked about today. How did you do? Is there an area that you check yes and you should have checked no? Or is there an area that you check no that you should have checked yes? Well, let me say this. Plain and simple, you know what you need to work on. All right? You know, I mean, again, you know, this is God's standard. This is, I didn't come up with this. I tried to put it in this simple order so that, you know, we can check ourselves. But this is the word of God. And so God is asking you the question. Is there an area in your life that you need to work on? Again, if you check no in the black areas, then you need to work on those areas. If you check yes in the red areas, then you need to work on those areas.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Love. People don't care what you know until they know that you care, part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Love, People Don't Care What You Know Until They Know That You Care, part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.